Hello, this is your Midnight Marauder program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass-heavy, and just right. Thanks.
This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Acre Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Alyssa Levy and Adam Ames in Brooklyn, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service DOA Newscast, May the 24th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. As businesses nationwide struggle to find and retain workers, Florida Gulf Coast University offers a solution to foster equitable workplaces.
Florida Gulf Coast University is launching the Building Equitable Workplaces 2024 Summer Workshop Series, a free program aimed at equipping Southwest Florida businesses with strategies to create inclusive work environments. Megan Baskin heads the Southwest Florida Leadership Institute at the university and says the workshops will address topics such as gender equity, generational differences, and using AI to address equity challenges.
And when employees feel that equity, they're more likely to be satisfied with the place that they work. They're more likely to stay in that organization, talk positively about that organization, which brings in new workers.
Business groups like the Florida Chamber of Commerce stress the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Baskin notes that professional development is crucial for employee retention and job satisfaction and encourages businesses to visit the Southwest Florida Leadership Institute website to register for the workshops on June 14th and July 24th. I'm Tramel Gomes.
Next from NBC News, the Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Republicans in South Carolina did not unlawfully consider race when they drew a congressional district in a way that removed thousands of black voters. It is a decision that makes it harder for civil rights plaintiffs to bring racial gerrymandering claims. NBC reports the court divided 6-3 on ideological lines, with conservatives in the majority. They said civil rights groups had not done enough to show that legislators were focused on race in drawing the Charleston area district. And as Michiganders hit the road this holiday weekend, state lawmakers are brainstorming ways to help close the state's $3.9 billion road funding gap.
One idea is the road usage pilot program to add tolls and mileage fees for using some of the most heavily traveled highways in the state. The pilot study is still in early stages of discussion, but it could mean a 6 cents per mile fee for drivers, which could raise $1 billion to fix Michigan's decaying roads. House Transportation Budget Chair Representative Ranji Puri says road funding comes from a variety of sources, but it isn't enough.
When we all purchase a vehicle, we go pay a registration fee. So those registration fees kind of help fund our roads. There's also some money from the sales tax that goes to the roads, and there's also money from the gas tax. We've just never come up with a formula that fundamentally meets the needs of the state.
Puri adds the rise in electric vehicle use equals fewer people buying gas, which means less gas tax revenue. Crystal Blair reporting.
This is Public News Service. And it was 2 years ago today that a teenager killed 19 students and two teachers at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas.
The families of those shot and killed have agreed to a $2 million settlement with the city, which equals the entire amount of the town's insurance policy. Attorneys for the group say they worked with city officials for over a year after leaders reached out and asked what could be done to ease the family's pain. Javier Cavarez lost his daughter in the shooting. He says justice and accountability are his main concerns.
It's been an unbearable 2 years. We all know who take our children's lives, but there was an obvious systemic failure out there on May 24th. The whole world saw that. We've been let down so many times. The time has come to do the right thing.
The mass shooting garnered international attention and questions after 376 law enforcement officers waited 77 minutes before going into the classroom to stop the shooter. Family members are disappointed that no disciplinary action has been taken against any of the officers involved, although Uvalde Police Chief Daniel Rodriguez resigned amid questions over how the incident was handled. For Public News Service, I'm Frieda Ross.
In addition to the $2 million settlement, the city of Uvalde has agreed to restorative justice policy changes that include establishing an annual day of remembrance on May the 24th, mental health services for all families in the community, and addressing public safety risks and the burden of gun violence for police officers. Next to Connecticut, where finally our Edwin J. Vieira reports, groups are preparing to celebrate World Fish Migration Day tomorrow.
The biennial event celebrates migratory fish species and their importance. It also highlights challenges these species face, like climate change. Warming waters make it harder for them to survive. Ria Drozdenko with the Connecticut River Conservancy notes planting trees on riverbanks can reduce water temperatures. She says dams also pose a challenge for fish.
They're essentially blocking off a river, so fish that might have historically been able to go far north up through our watershed, now that there's dams there, they are now blocked, and so now they have smaller and smaller habitats at their disposal.
She says conservation groups advocate for safer passage with fish ladders and fish elevators at the dams. Another way is removing so-called deadbeat dams that no longer serve an economic use and impede fish migration. More information about events and getting involved is online at worldfishmigrationday.com.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your long holiday weekend with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 45 degrees in Medusa to 56 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Looks like we got a sunny day ahead of us with a hot afternoon once again. 82 degrees are expected on that thermometer at 3 p.m. Overnight, open up those windows. Temperatures fall to 53 degrees. Tomorrow will be similar. High of 81. However, clouds increase through the day, leading to some overnight rain. We'll get a muggy feeling low of 61 degrees. Sunday will be rainy, likely all day with chances for thunder in the afternoon. A high of 83 is expected. Monday will be even more stormy with a high of 70 degrees. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:51 a.m., low tide at 11 a.m., High tide again at 4:23 p.m. and low tide once again at 10:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:03 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be slow at 386 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 130. And this has been the Better Weather for Friday, May 24th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, Civil Defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival shelter today.
Madmen, drummers, bombers, and Indians in the summer with a teenage diplomat. In the dumps with the mumps as the adolescent pumps his way into his hat. With a boulder on my shoulder, feeling kinda older, I trip the merry-go-round. With this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing, the Calliope crashed to the ground. Some old hot hat shot was heading for a hot spot, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. And some flesh-bound mascot was tied to a lover's knot.
before she turned up the band. Yeah, she was blinded by the light. Oh, cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. She got down, but she never got tight. But she'll make it all right. Sunburned stone, baritone, anti-cyclone, rolling stone.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Every year, boathouses across the nation welcome people to their docks and into their boats for the opportunity to try rowing. This year, National Learn to Row Day is on Saturday, June 8th, and Albany Rowing Center in the Corning Preserve will welcome folks to drop by and learn to row.
So I'm Landon Thompson. I'm coach here at ARC. I started Learn to Row actually way back in 2014 is when I did it. Summer of 7th grade going into 8th grade.
So you did Learn to Row here. What's that experience like of getting on the river?
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. So I got into Learn to Row because my brother rowed here and he had so much fun. And when I got down here, I just immediately loved the sport. Actually, it was kind of funny. My mom had, you know, been telling me to try it, and I kind of didn't want to. And I got down here, and I really loved being on the water. Being right on the Hudson's really amazing, and it's a really nice team we have here. It's very welcoming. So when I started, I was just 13 years old, and I started just kind of for fun, and over time I kind of grew more and more competitive in the sport. So everyone develops at a little bit different paces, so some people are ready at that elite level within a year. For me, it took a little bit longer. I'd say I was really competitive around my sophomore year in high school, and my junior year in high school is my first time going to the head of the Charles.
So my name is Samantha Staubach. I started with ARC back in 2018 for the Youth Learn to Row Camp. I've been practicing year-round, and currently I am a Division I rower at Monmouth University. So we practice every single day but Sunday, twice a day most days. So we're really competitive, and we're in the CAA Championship. The first week of Learn to Row, it is a little bit nerve-wracking just because you're trying something new with a bunch of new people, but it definitely gives you a sense of belonging and community. And once you do get used to rowing, there's always something to like work on, which that helps give like another sense of purpose.
And what would you tell somebody who's thinking about rowing and isn't sure if it's the right sport for them?
I'd say give rowing a chance. If they're thinking about rowing, we have the summer camp programs for the youth, and then we have the summer camp programs for the adults. And you also can come to National Learn to Row Day to come try it out for a day. So I myself wasn't sure at first because I was just coming to support a friend for the summer camp. But then once I came, I was like, this is my sport. This is where I need to be.
I would say just go in, you know, looking to have fun and see kind of where it brings you. A lot of people, you know, want to be competitive, and that's great, but kind of have fun first and then get that competitive spirit in you. Because you might not be too long before you're competing at that high level. So, you know, have fun as you progress and take it easy.
Yeah, hi, I'm Rebecca Clark, and we're down on the Albany Rowing Center dock in the Corning Preserve on the Hudson River.
So Learn to Row is coming up. There are courses, but there's also an International Learn to Row Day. What's significant about that?
So National Learn to Row Day is really put on by our national governing organization. And the idea is, you know, rowing can be such a life-changing activity that we want to provide an opportunity for people across the country to have a chance to give it a try and see what it's like. Because it's sort of hard to imagine without actually getting out on the water and doing it.
So what can someone expect when they come to International Learn to Row Day, which is June 8th?
Yeah, so on June 8th, if you come down to the Corning Preserve and show up at our boathouse, we'll give you a tour of our boathouse and show you what our equipment is like. Then we'll spend a little bit of time on the rowing machine, teaching you the basics of the rowing stroke. And it's kind of like learning a new dance move. So, you know, you want to start out slow and stable. And then we'll bring you down onto our docks. And we're going to try to get everybody out into a boat for a few minutes so you can experience what it's like, you know, to see the city and see the river from one of our rowing shells.
Why should somebody choose rowing over another athletic experience?
Oh, so rowing is a really powerful team sport, right? When you're in boats, we tend to row in team boats. So really, your fate is connected to the fate of everybody else in the boat. And there's a lot that goes on in just coordinating yourself so that you're maintaining the same pace together. And it's also low impact. So it's a sport that you can do at any age without putting yourself at risk in the way you would in an impact sport. And it's also great for fitness.
So the Learn to Row Day is for everyone of all ages and different abilities, right?
Yes, we do ask that it be for children over the age of 12, just because the equipment is too large for younger kids. But if young kids are really enthusiastic, they should come down and check things out anyway. And, you know, you can learn to row from age 12 up to age 90.
Do you want to address ability?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of growth in recent years in adaptive rowing, which is essentially rowing that is structured to accommodate people of a wide range of different abilities, you know, leading up to the Paralympics. So what we try to do is we'll talk with individuals about where their abilities are, what their limitations are, and then we try to match people up with the appropriate equipment based on their capabilities. But a lot of people say when they push off the dock and they get onto the water, you know, they forget that they have a disability because they're just out on the water being part of the sport.
So as somebody who's competitive, why is ARC or Albany Rowing Center a good place for you?
ARC really pushes every individual rower how they want to be pushed. So since I'm competitive, the head coach, Yuri, I think he does a really good job at pushing me to my limits. And then for other people, he understands that they have different limits. So we get pushed to like how we want to be pushed. And I wanted to be a D1 rower and I never knew I could get there, but with his help, he helped me build the confidence to be able to apply and be able to row on a D1 team.
Well, it's a very nice team to be in. You know, it's a very welcoming community. And it's also the whole rowing community outside of just Albany Rowing Center is a very close-knit one. So you're constantly running into people from all around the country that you've bumped into at regattas that you know. And there's also, you know, when you meet another rower, there's almost an instant bond that you have with them just from shared experiences.
What else would you like listeners to know about Learn to Row?
Learn to Row is super fun. You will have a moment the very first time you get in a boat. It's extremely memorable. You'll discover the boats are very skinny, but they're also structured so they'll stay upright. So it can be a very powerful experience, and you just have to, you know, relax and go with the flow, and then you will enjoy yourself.
And what else would you like listeners to know about Albany Rowing Center?
Well, the Albany Rowing Center, I think, is really an incredible gem in the city of Albany. You might not know about it if you haven't been down to the Corning Preserve. But, you know, we get to see an incredible amount of wildlife right in the city. We get phenomenal views of the city and of the river, and it's very peaceful, and it's a fantastic way to connect with this place.
This is Sina Bazila Hickey reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
2024 new music from The Body and Disfig. That's Descent Shame, WGXC. Here is from the 2024 album Hard Banger Lovers, Volume 1 through 4, from Gushy. This is Summer Death.
Tickets are now available at wavefarm.org/drive-in for an unforgettable drive-in event with Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt opening. Turn out for Negative Land's legendary sound collage and real-time cinema with Sue C., along with Matt Mose's renowned electronic music and sampling culture. This and so much more at the Greenville Drive-In, Friday, May 31st. All to support Wave Farm and WGXE. Tickets are going fast. Get yours now. Drive-In is all one word at wavefarm.org/drive-in.
Sestinia from Scanner's 2024 album Alchemia, tribute to early sound experimental recordings.
Light, 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 light Till the sun fell down, you kept it going.
Here is 2024 music with help from Hudson's Aaron Dyer from Buick and Gates. This is Birthmark from the 2024 album Birth of Omni. This is Baby, Won't You Come On.
Baby, you're not asking. living testament. Free love. Thank you.